Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. Joining us right now on The Fan in New York, my guy, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the New York Jets for The Athletic. Welcome in, Zach. How are you?
I'm good, Keith. How you doing, my man?
Good, good. Thanks for taking the time tonight. Obviously, this is a time for celebration. The Jets have named new head coach Aaron Glenn as the guy. You know, I made a joke last night. We went from AGNB, all gas, no brakes, to Aaron Glenn, the new boss, new beginnings. What do you think about Aaron Glenn as the new hire?
Yeah, I think he hits all the things that the Jets needed and what they wanted. I was even just thinking about this a little bit before I got on here. The Jets got a lot of flack for talking to a million people, but they landed on one of the best candidates of the cycle. Meanwhile, you have the Jaguars just completely bungling it at every turn and all the crazy stuff happening over there. So I think ultimately the process landed them with one of, if not, you know, the best candidates that were available to them. So I'm a big fan of the hire. Obviously, there are questions anytime a guy is a first-time head coach, but I think he's made of all the right stuff, and he has what it takes as long as he can build the right staff and find the right quarterback.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of the interview day a couple days ago now and him leaving the building and deciding he wasn't going to go to New Orleans, he wasn't going to go to Dallas, this was the spot? I think it says a lot, and I think Jets fans are always looking for someone that wants them and is choosing them. What do you say about the homecoming, the fact that he was a former Jet and he wanted this job and he was a highly coveted guy for the last 2 years in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, what I would say about him leaving the building thing, I think that was reported without, like, context, so everybody kind of lost their mind. I think he was planning on being the Jets coach the whole time he walked out of that building. I think there was just some I's and T's that needed to be dotted and crossed. But, I think the fact that he wanted this job was, you know, kind of a prerequisite. I mean, it seems obvious, but the Jets have been a dysfunctional team for a long time. And to people who, you know, aren't familiar with what goes on here and how they can go about fixing it, like, I don't know how many of the top candidates were willing to really consider it. You know, I know that, you know, Ben Johnson told him he wasn't interested. I know Cliff Kingsbury told him he wasn't interested. Aaron Glenn was from the beginning. He's a homebred person. You know, he was drafted by them. He started his career here with a Pro Bowl corner. He knows what it takes to win here. He knows the pressure that comes with it, like, and he still wanted all of that. So there's definitely something to be said for that. And on top of that, he was willing to come and work for Woody Johnson, which I don't know that a lot of candidates necessarily were, you know, dying to do that.
You took the thought right out of my head. Let's start at the top. Let's go to Woody Johnson, right? You're reporting along with Diana Russini and, you know, stuff you guys put out in The Athletic. I pay the $4.99 now for The Athletic. I had the $1.99 deal, but whatever, it is what it is, because, I mean, it helps me do my job. And you guys had the piece at the end of the season last year, and then you had two pieces this year. And I think about Woody, and I'm like, if I'm Woody, I don't want another one of these written. And I read an ESPN article where he said it's a typical schmear piece, and it's unsubstantiated, and, you know, he's really trying to take up for his son, Brick Johnson, or whatever. But what do you think about Woody Johnson? I think he has to respect Aaron Glenn, and I also think he's got to respect the next GM, and we'll talk about that in a second. But what do you think about Woody Johnson this time around? I think he's learned from his mistakes, and I think he's going to respect Aaron Glenn as the head coach.
Yeah, you know, I think early signs are good that he's maybe learned from some of the things that have transpired, the way people are talking about him and the team. But, you know, it's still like everybody will believe it when they see it kind of thing. Like, you know, historically speaking, when the Jets struggle is when he tends to come in. So, you know, if he goes through this whole offseason, he lets the GM and the coach do their jobs without interfering, which, you know, let's make the assumption he does that. What happens if they start 1-3 or something like that? Like, is he still going to stay patient, or is he going to start changing the schedule? Is he going to start assisting lineup changes? Is he going to, you know, start questioning decisions that Aaron Glenn or the GM are making? So these are all, that's kind of the big unknown, and that's going to be a big factor in if this team is able to build something here. You know, I think sometimes the Jets have tried to skip a few steps, and instead of, you know, building something sustainable, they try and go all in. And when it's backfired, it puts them in a bad spot, and then you go back to rebuilding. And so if he's willing to be patient and let this group kind of build it out and give them time, then I think they could succeed. But it's going to really come down to him just, you know, trusting the people that he's hiring.
Yeah, so I think people jumped the gun on Lance Newmark a bit, and obviously connecting the dots from Detroit and him having a working relationship with Aaron Glenn, people just immediately pointed to him. Now, obviously, they're having second interviews with some other guys, so it's a two-part question here. One, I want to know your thoughts on the other candidates and how far along, and then two, today, on my way in, I tweeted about it because I think this is a trend, and I even laughed about it. The Jaguars, literally, like Shad Khan said, that he would consider firing GM Trent Baalke if a head coach candidate gave him the right reason to. And Liam Cohen left the building and was supposedly going back to Tampa. And then today we're hearing that he's going to take the job and they fire Baalke. I'm like, he's a man of his word. Khan did what he said he was going to do. And I think the trend here is owners looking at coaches saying, I need your input on the GM, not the other way around, because you need to have input on the guy drafting players, trading players, working with personnel that you're going to coach. What do you think about where the Jets are in their search for the GM? And also, how do you think now when you see, you know, the trend of, all right, they just hired a head coach and fired their GM, they're going to go hire a GM now with the advice coming from their head coach, where we are in the NFL with that?
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of alluded to this, but I think it wound up being a little overblown, the idea that Aaron Glenn maybe was insisting that Lance Newmark be a package deal with him. It was interesting the way it played out, where they both were there on Tuesday. Like you said, they left the building, and then all of a sudden the Jets scheduled two different GM interviews. So I think you can, you know, put two and two together there a little bit. But I think ultimately they're going to land on one of the two guys they interviewed today, Darren Mugge from the Broncos and, like on his first name, Brown with the Bengals. These are two guys that are pretty highly regarded in league circles. Neither has been a GM, so there's some risk attached. But, yeah, you know, it is interesting. It seems to be more of a trend in recent years where teams are hiring a coach and letting them kind of dictate, you know, the personnel side or who's going to run things. I don't think that's the worst thing. If you have a coach that you really believe in, the coach is ultimately the one that's setting the culture, and he needs a GM that he can work with and that he can communicate to this GM, okay, these are the players that I need. This is the scheme I'm running. And so I think that is, there's something to be said about Aaron Glenn being involved in the decision to pick whatever GM he wants.
Yeah, the next question for you is about the staff. I just think it's so important. I talked about Nick Sirianni, and now Nick Sirianni potentially could be one of, I don't know, I forget the stat, but like he might go to the Super Bowl twice in his first 4 years. And I'm like, you know what? I've seen this guy get into spats with the media, make mistakes in the media. I've seen him go back and forth with fans. I saw the defensive line coach shield Jalen Carter from talking to him. I don't even know if the players all like him, but he's got a hell of a staff around him with Fangio and Stoutland and Kellen Moore. It is so important to have the right staff. We've heard a little bit about Clint Kubiak being an offensive coordinator or Mark Brunell being an offensive coordinator. There's some rumblings about Steve Wilks coming in and that Glenn is going to want a defensive coordinator with head coaching experience. Fans are pushing for Rex Ryan. Where do you think we are right now with Aaron Glenn building out his staff? Who do you think has a leg up? And, you know, maybe how soon can we start finding out who's filling these roles?
Yeah, you know, I think Aaron Glenn will go through, like, the interview process and request interviews with guys and other staffs and things like that. So it's not something that, you know, guys are going to be hired, like, tomorrow. But I think, you know, offensive coordinator and, you know, Connor Hughes is on this first, and I've been reporting on it, too. Nick Haley is a guy. He's on the Rams staff. He's, I think, their tight ends coach and passing game coordinator. He's really highly regarded. He rejected the Patriots last year. They offered him a lot of money to be an OC, and he felt like he wasn't ready yet. He kind of, like, kind of smartly, he's like, I kind of want another year under Sean McVay. You could do worse than plucking from the Sean McVay tree. He worked under Bill Belichick. He's somebody that, you know, I think is viewed as a future head coach. There's a risk always when you do a first-time play caller, but I think he's the top of the list of guys they want if he's willing to take it. I don't think they've interviewed him yet, but I do think he'll be on the list. And Clint Kubiak, who you mentioned, is another one. Scott Turner is someone who's been mentioned, Mark Brunell. But I think Nick Haley would be the top target. And Steve Wilks, it sounds like, is the running favorite at defensive coordinator. He's somebody who I think it's very smart for Aaron Glenn to target somebody like that who doesn't necessarily have ties to, but he's been a head coach, he's been a play caller, And I think he needs some veteran coaches on this staff as he becomes a first-time head coach. I think that's really, really important for a first-time coach to have somebody in there who's been there, who you can bounce ideas off of and be, and you know, get advice on how to go about things when you're running the whole operation.
We're on the phone right now with Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic, who covers your New York Jets. You know, as a first-year head coach, he's going to have some growing pains. He's going to have a learning curve. Anybody will, their first time doing anything. But yeah, I think it's smart to have a Steve Wilkes who, you know, and I hate that fans do this. They point to his time with the Cardinals and are like, oh, he wasn't any good there. It has nothing to do with what he'll be as an assistant to Aaron Glenn and as a defensive coordinator. And I also hate when fans want to say stuff about, oh, Rob Saleh was a better defensive coordinator than Aaron Glenn was. And I've knocked everyone down about this last game against the Commanders because Jared Goff turned the ball over four times. They had 11 guys on IR. Their defense was decimated. Nobody was saying anything when they were shutting down Sam Darnold in the 14-win Vikings. But now everybody wants to lean on that. I know there's just a lot of pessimism in the fan base, but I think that this guy is going to be a CEO type, a leader of men. He used to own restaurants. You know, what are the type of questions that you're going to ask when you get him and when you get in front of him? I can't wait to see how he handles the press conference. Like Nick Sirianni's press conference was terrible. Give me one question or one line of thought that you'd like to ask Aaron Glenn about approaching this Jets team that's on a 14-year drought of the playoffs that, you know, is a laughing stock and needs to get right away.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a bunch, obviously, but if you're asking for one, like the one that I have in my head is I think a lot about something Garrett Wilson said towards the end of the year where he said it's in our DNA that we just expect things to go wrong. And so, like, my question for Aaron Glenn is, like, how do you go about changing that culture of same old Jets, that culture of expecting disaster to happen, that it's always just around the corner? Because that's kind of going to be his number one task, is changing the culture, you know, creating a culture of accountability, all those things, like what that means to him. Like, these are all things I'm very curious about. And there's logistical things, like, are you going to call plays on defense? What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? All that kind of stuff. But, like, the overarching theme for me is just going to be, how do you go about changing what's been wrong with this team for 14 years when other coaches have come here thinking they could do it and they failed? So why are you the guy to do that?
Yeah, I think so many people, because he's a first-time head coach, they want to say he's young or like he's some type of novice. Yes, he will be a first-time head coach, but he brings a ton of experience as a player, as a scout, doing quality control. You know, the biggest thing that I, you know, put in my notes these last couple of days, Parcells talking about him, Sean Payton talking about him. Like, the fact that Damian Woody said, I can't tell you how many players have talked about being excited about this, and then reports coming out that players reached out to Woody like, hey, don't mess this up. Like, this is the guy, bring him in. He brings all of that with him. So I expect to see some former Jets, and I expect him to just, you know, kind of command that respect where he will change that. But I think the biggest thing for him to figure out with the roster as we go from the owner to the GM to the staff now to the players, what do you think he's going to do with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback? What do you think he's going to do at quarterback? I've read some reports that he would want to bring Aaron Rodgers back, and I've leaned into his 14-year career as a player and the brotherhood and the fraternity that these players have and how they, you know, sympathize with each other, especially at the end of a career. I think he'll be more inclined to try and bring Aaron Rodgers back, and I think Aaron Rodgers would hear him out. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I still don't have a great read on that. I think people reporting what he'll do with that, I think they're getting a little ahead of themselves, because you still need the GM in there. And Aaron Rodgers needs to talk to Aaron Glenn, and they both need to decide if this is a relationship they want. You know, I think there's a case to be made on both sides about whether he should or shouldn't be back. But the case for is that there's not a lot of great quarterbacks here. If the goal is to win right away, he's probably the best option just relative to the other options out there. And unless you believe Sam Darnold will come back, I don't think there's anybody out there that's available as of right now that would be better than Rodgers healthy. But then there's the flip side. There's the financial stuff. There's the circus that comes with it. There's Aaron Rodgers demanding his offense and him running things and things like that, and his friends being there. And if Aaron Rodgers is willing to, you know, cave to what Aaron Glenn wants, then it could be a good relationship. But I lean towards them doing a clean slate, letting Aaron Glenn pick his quarterback for this year, finding somebody young to develop and things like that. But I still lean towards Aaron not coming back, but it's certainly possible that he does.
Yeah, honestly, me, I was saying, you know, if this is a new head coach, new GM, new regime, you got to move on from Aaron Rodgers. But the reason that I suggest them bringing Aaron Rodgers back is because the more I think about, like, Tyrod Taylor being the starter or bringing in a Jameis Winston or a Justin Fields or a Russell Wilson. You know, I'm just throwing out names of the guys that are out there, even like paying a Kirk Cousins. I don't think it makes sense with the dead cap with Rodgers. And if Rodgers doesn't retire, like, I think they start there. I think they'll have conversations. But then I look at the rest of the team, and with this five-year deal, I also think this job was attractive to Aaron Glenn because this isn't a rebuild. They have talent. I can't wait to see what he does with a Sauce Gardner, a kid that like he can relate to. They both lived in Detroit. Obviously, Gardner from Detroit and him being in Detroit the last few years, him being a first-round pick at corner for the Jets, Gardner. Like, I can't wait to see what he does for some of these players. My next question for you is with that number 7 overall pick and, you know, a draft coming, what do you expect them to do with that 7 overall pick? I think they need to hit on a player that can contribute and that can help right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cliche of there. I think they really are in position to just pick the best player available. You know, I don't think unless somehow Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or something fell that far, which I can't see happening. I don't think a quarterback makes a lot of sense there. And, you know, so I think something like an edge rusher, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, they could use a right tackle, like something like even a defensive back. Like, I think you can make a case for all of those. They just need to take the best player, somebody who's going to help right away. If it winds up being on defense, that's fine. And you can, you know, Aaron Glenn, to his credit, and we haven't really talked about this that much, but like he changed his scheme based on his personnel year to year. And I think there's something to be said about that. They have good personnel already. They have a few holes. But if they can go and find like another elite pass rusher or somebody next to Quinnen or something like that, then you should have a pretty good defense again. And so I think that's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah, I mentioned him being a first round corner, Sauce being a first round corner. I think DJ Reed is good as gone. If Will Johnson from Michigan is there, I think that'd be a great guy to draft and bring into this culture and almost like a universe never unconnects type of thing. Like Aaron Glenn's first pick, you know, being a corner that he can bring in and draft and mold. If not, Tankathon has Will Campbell out of LSU. Doesn't hurt to take potentially the first offensive lineman off the board, best offensive lineman off the board, but they have, you know, offensive lineman returning. I don't know. I get good vibes from this. I know that this is a time to be optimistic. I know the future's uncertain, but I think that Aaron Glenn and all of the experience that he has, the type of guy he is, you know, the type of players he's looking for, the mentality he's going to bring. I feel good about where the Jets are headed. I don't think Rome will be built in a day, but I think over the course of this next 5 years, if it's not next year, the year after, they'll end the playoff drought and they won't be a laughing stock.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. I think, you know, I think there are some fans that have been burned so much by this team that they're hesitant to like really celebrate a coach hiring. But I think it's okay to celebrate it right now just because of the background and that he's homegrown and that he wanted to be here and his Bill Parcells ties and all that stuff. And then judge the rest of it based on what they do this offseason and how the season starts and stuff like that. But they at least started off this process doing the right things. And I think Aaron Glenn, like I said, I think he's what they need in terms of somebody who's going to be willing to call out guys, hold them accountable, and still be their friend at the end of the day. He brings all those attributes that you want in a head coach.
Zach, you're the man. I appreciate you. When things turn around, I know you won't take credit, but I'll give you credit on the fan. Your work, your reporting, your writing, you kind of forced their hand here. You kind of helped push them in the right direction here. When things start going good for the Jets, you'll get some credit from me.
I appreciate that, Keith. Always good talking to you.
Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic covering the New York Jets. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan.